وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your services for his deen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astofa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also recited the verse, a redemption, the feeding of a poor person, whereafter he said, this concession was abrogated. It is evident from all these reports that the permission which originally existed no longer remains. It is now obligatory for all to fast, bearing whatever difficulty that may arise. The concept of expiation and fidya will, however, still apply to that person who is totally incapable of keeping the fast. Whosoever does a good act of his own will, then this is better for him. This verse makes reference to the fact that after observing the entire month of Ramadan's fasting, it will be of extreme benefit for a person to fast on an optional basis after Ramadan. Bukhari Sharif reports a hadith wherein the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in reply to a person's query regarding Islam, that the five daily salats are obligatory. The person asked what else was due from him. The reply was, there was nothing else except that he may do of his own will. Then he was told about the obligatory Ramadan fast, upon which he asked whether it was only these that were obligatory. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that it was only these unless he fasted after them of his own will. The general context of the verse encourages all good acts, even it be a single salah, fast, or any other mandatory devotion which a person observes optionally. Its reward will most definitely be awarded to him. He will be deserving of the great merits promised by Allah, which is certainly better for him in the hereafter. Other commentators have interpreted this verse slightly differently. They say it means that although the expiation fidya is fulfilled by feeding a single person one meal, should a person willingly give extra, this will be better for him. And it is better for you that you fast if you but knew. Allama Abu Bakr Jassas rahmatullah alayhi says that this verse refers to those people who in the beginning were permitted to miss their fast in spite of being healthy and not on journey. Although they could offer fidya and expiation, it was best for them to fast. The blessings and spiritual benefits to be derived from fasting
can never be attained through the expiation, that is fidya. He also writes that it could also refer to those who are capable as well as those travelers. Since the concession not to fast was also granted to travelers, the verse alludes to the point that it will be best for them to fast as well. Generally, travelers and musafirs are able to fast while on a journey without too much difficulty. It becomes evident that to fast on a journey is better than not fasting. Allama Jassas rahmatullah alayh then extracts even another fine point when he mentions that since the feeding of one person, the equivalent of half sa, approximately 1.75 kgs, is a substitute for one fast, it is learned that one fast is superior to donating half a sa in charity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks regarding the month of Ramadan, the revelation of the noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the month of Ramadan is the month wherein the Quran was revealed as a guide for mankind, whose signs of guidance are absolutely clear, and it is a distinguisher between truth and falsehood. So whoever amongst you witnesses this month should fast therein, and those who are ill or upon a journey should count the same number of days besides these to fast. Allah desires ease for you and desires not hardship, and that you complete the period and glorify Allah for His guiding you, and that you show gratitude. So the Quran-i-Majid was revealed in Ramadan. This verse specifies the days in which fasting is to take place. The previous verse merely stated a prescribed number of days, whereas this verse clearly defines a specific month. It is therefore obligatory for every Muslim to fast in this month. Thereafter, Allah mentions another speciality of this month, the revelation of the Quran. It is stated in Surah Qadr that this revelation took place on the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. There exists no discrepancy between the two verses because the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, falls within the month of Ramadan. The question may arise that since the Quran was revealed gradually over a period of 23 years, why does this verse state that it was revealed in a single month of Ramadan? The answer is that on the night of Qadr, the entire Quran was revealed at once from the Lawh-e-Mahfuz, the protected tablet, to the sky above the earth. Yea, it was placed in the Baytul Izzah. It was from this place that it was then gradually revealed through the order of Allah by Jibreel alayhi salam to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam over a period of 23 years. The description of the Quran thereafter given is evident to all. Allah mentions that it is a guide for mankind, whose signs of guidance are absolutely clear, and it is a distinguisher between truth and falsehood. Thereafter Allah states, so whomsoever from amongst you witnesses the month should fast therein. The obligation is made clear in this verse concerning the fast, making it binding upon every sane, mature, male and female Muslim. However, it is allowed for sick people, travelers, pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers to miss the fast and to keep the qaza, the lapse fast after Ramadan. Women experiencing menstruation or afterbirth bleeding, which is known as nifas, are also excused from fasting and observe them only after the expiry of their condition. The various detailed rulings with regard to these situations are discussed in the ahadith and books of jurisprudence. Just a few will be illustrated here. The world is continuously striving to make travel and locomotion more comfortable. With the inception of high-speed aircraft, distances which normally took months to traverse have now been shortened to no longer than a few hours. Since the development of these means, the question always arises regarding the case where a person fasted a full period of 30 days in a certain country, whereafter he flies to another country where still a few days remain before the end of Ramadan. What is he to do during these days? In my humble opinion, since he is witnessing Ramadan in this country, he should fast the remaining days. This is required from the general context of the verse. So whomsoever witnesses a month should fast therein. The rule ruling also is also evident if one considers the ruling jurists have issued with regard to the person who physically matures during Ramadan and the woman who ceases to menstruate in Ramadan. Both of these, although not fasting during that particular day, will not be allowed to eat or drink for the remainder of the day due to the reverence of this month. Similarly, the person arriving at a place where Ramadan is still not over has to show reverence for this month. This reverence can assume two forms. Either he does not fast but refrains from eating and drinking, or he may fast. For him to fast will be in compliance with this verse. Therefore, he should observe the fast. In this situation, he should make a general niyyah and intention for fasting. In this way, the fast will be both nafil optional as well as obligation farz of Ramadan. The benefit is that if Allah regards his fasting to be obligatory in these days, his obligation will be fulfilled. If, however, it was really not necessary for him to fast during these remaining days, he would have reaped the reward of optional and nafil fast. At the same time, he would have shown due reverence for the months of Ramadan. The permission granted to the sick and the travelers not to fast and the instruction to observe the lapse, the qaza thereafter. In this verse, Allah excludes the ill and the musafir traveler from the obligation of fasting, instructing them to make up the missed fast afterwards. Allama Jassas Rahmatullahi in Ahkam al-Quran writes that Allah in this verse only specified that the person should make up the exact number of days that he missed. No mention was made that these fasts have to be consecutive without a break in between. Therefore, a person may fast continuously or with breaks between. Both ways are permitted, which is also denoted by the verse, Allah desires ease for you and does not desire hardship. Jurists have mentioned that if a person had not yet completed the qaza of his Ramadan fast, by the time the next Ramadan arrives, he should fast for this subsequent Ramadan and complete the lapse and qaza thereafter. However, the qaza should be observed as quickly as possible, since one has no idea when death will overtake one. The concession regarding to the ill does not apply to all sick people. It will apply only to those who will experience severe difficulty by fasting or have the strong fear of losing a limb or organ thereby. Those people may also take advantage of this concession who anticipate the prolonging of their illness because of the fast. This anticipation should be based either upon previous experience or upon the diagnosis of an expert Muslim doctor who is known not to be a fasiq, an open sinner. This ruling is recorded in the canonical books of Durr-i Mukhtar and Shami, wherein it is also stated that the infidel and kafir doctor could intend by such a diagnosis to discourage one from worship. People generally misconstrue any little illness to be an excuse not to fast, even though it is not all harmful for them, at all harmful for them to fast. On the other hand, fasting is beneficial for certain diseases. Nevertheless, many people use the excuse of illness to avert fasting, merely relying upon the word of some doctors. The instruction of every doctor is not considered in this matter, since certain doctors may be totally irreligious while others are disbelievers. Neither do they understand the correct ruling nor the value of fasting. Some people even derive pleasure out of discouraging others from fasting. The words of a kafir doctor will be emphatically ignored in this matter. The sick person should decide using experience, strength of belief and iman, and the advice of such a Muslim doctor who, together with understanding the importance of fasting and relevant Islamic rulings, also possesses the fear of Allah. Unfortunately, there are many people who not only miss their fast on the pretext of illness, but will not even make them up later. Such people drag the great sin with them to their graves. In their love for mere eating and drinking, they are totally oblivious of the Akhirah doomsday. Inshallah, we shall continue with this particular aspect tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts the love for the noble Quran and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.